Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines with the Watchman, Dana Smith, and me. I'm Tower. And we are glad you joined us as we have a great lineup for you tonight. But first, it is February 7th, 2019. And the readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through chapter 27, verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 12 through chapter 6, verse 13. And the New Testament portion is Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. 1 through chapter 4, verse 41. Also Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. To read the latest posts and articles by the Watchman, go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. The two featured articles by the Watchman this week are The Testimony and Faith of Jesus Christ. The faith and testimony of Jesus Christ at the time of the end. Many will not come to Christ to find life eternal. However, he that hears this word and believes passes from death to life. Don't wait to make your decision until the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. This will occur, so don't wait too long procrastinating. Breaking forth of the light. Breaking forth in the midst of darkness, there lay the truth, immutable. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. The kingdoms of men fall further into their own ways. The two shall clash unmistakably. The truth shall reveal the folly. You can listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Check out the front page of warn-usa.com for our Spreaker embed and links to all the places you can listen to, like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. You can listen to all the shows on the front page of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And listen or watch all the shows from warn-usa.com blog and also from Spreaker or the Spreaker app. And you can also follow Warn Radio on Instagram and Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. And tonight on our show is our in-depth battle lines study of the scripture with the Watchman Dana Smith. And for over 21 years, the Watchman has been teaching, preaching, and warning the generations. And our study tonight continues with Apocalypse, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 13, War of the Beast. This week we focus on the dragon and the beast in Revelation chapter 13. Here the war of the beast takes off, and in this power we find a second beast also revealed. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. A little chilly, but it's warmer than yesterday.
Yeah, it like a heat wave today.
Even though it's 12 degrees?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way it is. We're in February, and, yeah, of course, March, that's spring.
Yes, I'm excited.
Less, you know, not very far away.
Oh, I know.
We
I'm
got,
glad.
What, 28 days? We got 3 weeks left of this month.
Wow.
Not that I want it to go by fast, but, you know, the bottom line of it is that we are nearing spring. And, of course, we like that around here.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And summer.
Yep, we definitely do. Of course, you know, we keep so busy with everything we do in the summertime that summer goes by so fast, it's like...
too fast.
Yeah, I mean, I need two summers.
Yeah, we do.
You know, instead of 3 months, I need 6 months. Or 7 months. Or 12 months. Or maybe, you know... Well, there's no maybe, because the minute you start going to those places that have perfect weather year-round, like Hawaii, then you have all kinds of people and all kinds of problems. And Hawaii has natural problems, like in weather and stuff.
Yes, they do.
And in volcanoes and tsunamis and... trash floating across the ocean. Remember that big island of trash that finally hit the U.S.?
Oh, yeah. That was from Japan.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? From that earthquake they had.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that it does that. It just kind of hangs together and floats across the ocean.
It's weird.
I know. It is. You know, I have talked about, and you and I were talking about it today, about the pastors in a lot of these big churches that never say anything about what's going on. I noticed that some of the pro-life people, they were holding up a sign, a bunch of women, and it was to the pastors. For all you pastors that don't want to be political, you're not helping at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in other words, you know, speak up was the message.
Yeah.
And, you know, these pastors that have these big churches and keep their mouth shut on major issues, especially the pro-life and late-term abortion thing, when we have a president that stood up and called out Congress.
I know. That was good. Good
yeah,
of him.
Yeah. And at the prayer breakfast where they had several thousand people, even Franklin Graham was tweeting about it, you know, and there was, I don't know, 3,600 people there. And, you know, this is important to understand, that people need to stand up.
They do.
You can't let these jerk-offs, you know, get away with this, you know. And you can't let all these new runny, snot-nosed beginners that come in here and want to create socialist country out of America get away with anything. You need to speak up, and you need to tell them to go back where they came from and to shut up. This is not a socialist nation. We do not want to kill babies outside the mother's womb. We do not want this stuff, and if you want it, go find yourself another country. But this country is not going to do that. But instead, we allow all this to go on. And, you know, I was thinking and meditating on a lot of this in Scripture today, And I've got an article that I've got to write on it, but I'll give you a hint. You know, in Revelation 17, we find the whore riding the beast. Now, see, a lot of people in the picture, they get, well, the whore's riding the beast. What people don't realize is that beast, you know, and I've seen various pictures. You know, they'll put a woman, you know, that's dressed provocatively sitting on a buffalo or something and call that... that's what it is. No, supernaturally and spiritually, the beast is unlike anything you've ever seen. It's not like anything that I've ever seen on a paper. And when that woman gets on that beast, that is a spiritual metaphor to show you exactly what that is. She rides with a cup full of abominations. Now, where do you think she got that from? I'll tell you where she got that from. She got that from the beast. The beast is the source of all of that. And she is riding that beast because she profits. She's riding that beast because she can do the things she wants to do. And she is, carried by the beast, helped by the beast, and she rules the world through the beast. Now, in the same token, there are people in Hollywood, there's people in the politics, there's people in the Democratic Party that have sold their soul, and they're riding the same beast. And they have a cup of their own, a cup of abominations that they're drinking from right now, and it's carrying them. And this is what this beast will do. He will carry them through this into success unless someone steps up and stops it. But make no mistake, if you think the woman in Revelation 17 is the only one on the beast, you are crazier than a loon. Because there are people, and I can see a beast that's huge, and on the back are millions and millions of people that are riding it, including some of the communists in China, including those who are in Pakistan, including people that are in different political parties in the United States, including people in Hollywood who have sold their soul in order to win the world and overcome. This is the way it works. You either serve Jesus Christ or you're serving that beast and you're riding on the beast in order to ascend.
Amen.
And if you keep your mouth shut in the midst of all this going on, then I question your calling and question whether you were even saved and question whether you were even a pastor of a church that has anybody in it that knows the Lord. Because you are setting them up for a fall. You need to repent, get up off your butt, and get going and speak up.
That's right.
Because if you've got a president who's willing to stand up and call out Congress right to their face, what are you doing with the church and you won't say anything? But to those pastors who are speaking up, that's what you need to be doing. Keep it up. And
yes,
be prepared.
Amen.
Because this nation is not going to be won from what these people want it unless you stand up. There is not going to be any fancy deliverance here. You got to fight. If you want America to stay, if you want this thing to turn out all right, you need to fight. You need to stand up. Period.
Yeah, I wish more people would. That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, the Catholic Church, I think, capitulated. They were fighting for a lot of years, you know, against abortion and stuff, and they just kind of quit. You don't hardly see them. And then, of course, there was a time in there, even during Republican administrations, that people that were pro-life were frowned on, and they were even thrown in jail for being pro-life and even saying things. They couldn't even stand on the friggin' sidewalk and say anything because these killing clinics, would have them thrown in jail, and the politicians agreed. Now, see, it's time for pro-lifers to get out, and we need to make known to this government and to these people in the Democratic Party who have sold their souls to the devil and want to kill all these babies outside the mother's womb as soon as she gives birth. They need to be taught a lesson. They need to wake up, and they need to know that there are people out here that are not going to put up with it.
That's right.
You know, Paul the Apostle spoke and he said, "You have not resisted unto blood against sin." In his day, he called his people out when they weren't standing up. It's one thing to have faith and sit in your corner and say, "Oh, I got faith, goody, goody." But there comes a time when you got to stand up.
That's right. Amen. People do. One day we really will have to. We won't have a choice.
So at any rate, tonight we are in Revelation. And we're not in Revelation 17 with the woman on the beast, but that'll be interesting when we get to it. Right now we are in 13. And it's kind of interesting how Revelation is set up, because you would think that you would put the woman on the beast a little sooner, you know. But, you know, it's just like when you get into Revelation 6 and the seals, an overview of what's going to happen during the entire thing. Then, of course, you have the great wrath tribulation, which we haven't gotten to. So you know, we're, you think about it, there's going to be plenty of wrath built up by the time the wrath of God comes around.
Oh my goodness, I know.
At the rate we're going, worldwide, you know. I mean, the communists, though, have been aborting babies like that for, I don't know, how long? How long have they been doing that? As long as I can remember.
The Chinese?
Yeah.
And other communists? Yeah. And India?
I'm thinking of China mainly.
Yeah. Well, India's right along with them.
Well, India, you know, they want the boy babies. Is that, or is that the...
Yeah, they want the boy babies, so they abort the girls.
Well, China was really open about that, too, you know. And then America comes along and says it's okay. Well, see, it was never okay in America. We weren't like the other nations. India was never a Christian nation. China was never a Christian nation, per se. We had the forefathers. We had Christianity. We had the faith of Jesus. We had churches all over the East Coast when the 13 colonies were founded. So don't tell me that Christianity wasn't here, and don't be a fool and tell me that Islam was here too. Islam was not here. Islam was in the world. Everybody knew of it. But they also knew how much these Arabs wanted to kill others and raid. So make no mistake about it. And just because we have one of the forefathers that had, you know, well, at any rate, the Quran, doesn't mean that he was a Muslim, and it certainly doesn't mean that he was advocating Islam to run this country. That's a fool's bet, and that's what Obama tried to sell concerning America. And the biggest thing about Obama was he was about as big a liar as some of them in the Democratic Party today, unfortunately. And of course, there's Republicans.
That's a fact.
Yeah, there's Republicans that's been liars, too. You know, this country ain't going to be turned around by seeking Muhammad. Or, you know, your version of Allah.
That's right.
It's going to be turned around by the true and living God and his son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ.
I remember one of my mom's friends said, there's many ways to God, but that's not the truth. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, the world likes to think there's many ways to God, and there is many ways to God, but there ain't many ways to be saved because there's only one true and living God. The nations, the gods of the nations are idols, according to the Torah.
That's right.
And that's about the way it is. Our idols and their demons and things like that. But there's only one way of salvation, and any way you get, you know, you put it together, this is the way it is. And
well, they don't like that because they don't want to admit that they're sinners and they're in need of a savior. They think they live just fine, and it's pride that gets in the way of all that.
Well, there's no doubt, you know, that when you're overseas, you know, Islam is fighting a battle, and they're bringing in a kingdom on the blood of the saints. Now, who does that? That's the devil.
That's right.
Because that's exactly what the devil does. He makes war with the saints. There's only one people on the face of this earth that really consistently has waged war against the cross, and that is Islam.
Yep.
And remember, the promise didn't go through Ishmael, it went through Isaac, of which Christianity came out of because of Yeshua, who came through, known as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And even some Jews don't even know who the true Savior is, because they're still in the Old Testament and haven't fully understood where the Messiah, or who the Messiah is. But they're getting close.
They're coming around.
And a lot of Muslims are also coming around. But this is the battle. Any way you put it, there's going to be a battle. I mean, you're just not going to get away from it. There's a battle today. There's going to be a battle tomorrow. There's going to be a battle in the future. You're not going to be free to hold these views, and your views will cost your life in the future when this thing goes. And with that, we're going to have to okay. get going.
I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Okay, John's revelation of Jesus Christ, the war of the beasts. And, you know, we didn't get very far last week. Not at all. And that's, the way it is. Sometimes we get down the road, and sometimes we don't. And so, Revelation 13. Now, we started in Revelation 1. No, not Revelation 1. Revelation 13, verse 1. And, of course, here you have the beast coming up out of the sea. John on the side of the sea, you know. And, of course, the sea is the world. This is... So when you're on the side, on the stand of the sea, he's a prophet, so he's enabled to be able to see this thing raise. If you were in the sea, you wouldn't necessarily see it rise, but you would see the results as soon as he is revealed, because he has to be revealed. He can rise, and that's the revealing of it to the prophet coming out of there. But there's a little space in there that while he's, you know, being in the world, he is among the world, and you don't recognize him until he's revealed. And he has 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns. We talked about all those in the name of blasphemy. The beast of a wild animal or beast. You know, venomous, something that can kill you. The 7 heads, revealing power. 7 is a number of completion, God's perfect number. And the number 7, you have a lot of things about the number 7, which reveals a completeness. You have 7 mountains on which the woman sits, Revelation 17:9. You have the 7 kings in 17:10, talking about where the beast is and how he comes out. The other one tells, actually, many people feel this is Rome itself because it's surrounded by 7 hills. And 7 further, there's all kinds of things, you know. Cain, the sevenfold curse, fleeing 7 different ways before you. Israel was told that their enemies would flee 7 different ways, Deuteronomy 28:7. 7 angels of the churches, Revelation 17:20. 7 lamps of fire. 7 thunders, Revelation 10:13. The 7 golden bowls of wrath of God, Revelation 15:17. And then, of course, you have the scarlet beast with 7 heads, Revelation 17:3. So, 7 is a predominant number. And of course, 10 is, there's a lot of these numbers when you look at the numbers. And, of course, the 10 horns, you know, this is the power and also completion. 10 is a number of completion. And when you look at 10 crowns, that denotes the office, you know, only a king or a queen or someone appointed receives a crown. So it denotes the royalty and official stature of his appointment. So this beast is going to be recognized as such. He's going to have power with the 10 horns. And because he's described as a beast, he's going to be able to really rend and tear the earth and bring it down. And of course, you have, when you talk about the number 10, you had the 10 virgins of Matthew 25, 10 pieces of silver in Luke 15. You have the 10 days of tribulation of Smyrna. They were to be faithful unto death. Wait thou 10 days of tribulation, the devil will throw you into a prison. So at any rate, those are all suggest a number that it's complete, and God has set it and established it. And with the virgins, of course, that's that you have five wise and five foolish, and what that tells you is that the choice that's in there within the church, and the virgins, of course, representing the believer in Christ, and of course the oil represents the Holy Spirit seeking the Lord. And of course, when we talk about blasphemy, we know what blasphemy is. In classical Greek, it meant defamation or evil speaking. When you're, in the world today, there's all kinds of blasphemy. Most of the time, nobody cares whether they blaspheme the name of our God and Father. Nobody cares that they blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. Even Christians don't do much. Churches don't do much. They allow it. Nobody says much about it. But if you go around and you blaspheme the name of Allah or Muhammad or anything like that, if you're over in Iran, or if you're in Pakistan, or any number of other places, you're going to have your head probably lopped off because they won't put up with it. And we've even seen this in the EU. We've seen it all over. But it's kind of amazing how even the press will they won't say a word when people are cursing Jesus Christ, taking his name in vain, or blaspheming the Father. But when it comes to Muhammad or Allah, they will, go to lengths to, show their disgust. So this is really the battle that we have in the world, And of course, when we look at the beast, and in this part, we see the beast rising, but he's really the prince of the world. He is the one that of course, the media who does not serve God serves him. And so he puts it in them to pretty much speak and do what he wants them to do. So this beast rises up out of the sea, the multitude of peoples and nations and tongues. And the thing of it is we talk about beasts. Even Daniel spoke of a beast in Daniel 7 and verse 3, four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. And it's always interesting how this rises up. Of course, we have, Daniel that had a lot of prophecies that were really right on. And he named some of the greatest kingdoms on earth through these visions that God had given him. Psalm 65:7, it says, speaking of the Lord God, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. Isaiah 60 and verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together, thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. But we have a type here when we look at the sea, and we look at, it can be the multitude, and it's always very figurative. So this beast rises up out of the sea. And, of course, as a result, the Gentile nations, when you look at it, the Gentile nations are in a tizzy, and you can see this in Psalm 2, Why do the heathen rage? And because you have the nations of men in turmoil and the multitudes raging. And it really shows a sea of people just like a sea that's in a great tumult in a great kind of a, you know, the waves are rising and everything like this. It's a terrible storm, and that's the way the nations are. The beast arises in the middle of it, and the people are raging against the Lord and his anointed. They're raging against God. They want to remove his bonds. They don't follow his commandments. Paul, 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about it, saying that they're going to reject the love of the truth, which is the gospel and the Father and the Son. And so you have all of these types, and of course the Christians are right in the middle of the sea. And of course it reminds me of Noah. You know, Noah wasn't raptured out of his trouble. That would have been really easy, and then the Lord could have put him back on some nice hunk of land somewhere, and he would have never had any problems. He could have easily raptured out the whole lot of them, including the animals. Well, that's the teaching that a lot of people believe in America today. I'm not so sure about around the world, but they all believe in the rapture. And, of course, they're all looking to go. You know, as America gets so much in turmoil itself, they're all looking for the rapture, not understanding that they're going to be here because the Lord isn't coming yet. But they believe they're going to go. But see, it would have been really nice for Noah. They could have taken him up and all the animals, and he wouldn't have had to mess with it. He wouldn't have had to do any of that instead of riding in the boat. But he was supposed to ride in the ark, and that's what he is. So folks, in this sea that we're in called the world, and as it rises into a tumult and a huge storm, your ark of safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where you need to be. And you're going to have the mountains of people, you know, the multitudes of people raging against God. You're going to have them running away. You're going to have wars. You're going to have rumors of wars. You're going to have natural disasters. And you got to stay within that ark. So you are in the sea of this, and you're not in the deep of the tribulation, but you are in the beginning of this thing where we have a lot of these signs. And of course, we've been taught for, you know, forever that the tribulation is 7 years. Now, there's nowhere anywhere in Scripture you're going to find that except in the minds of those who have interpreted the 70th week of Daniel like that. Matter of fact, tribulation and trouble for Christians have been going on since the time that Christ, even when Christ was here, he had tribulation. And then when he ascended to his Father, the apostles had tribulation, and they were martyred. The early church, many of them were martyred, especially during the Roman Empire when they had 10 different tribulations. So make no mistake, this is the sea that you're in right now in the end of days. Even in America, there's a great war going on, and it's the seas of the nations are raging. Look at what happened with China going against Christians. Look at what Pakistan's been doing. And look at what Iran's doing. And look at how they're all gathering around Israel. You just see it. Look at what happens even in America with the division we have here. That's the tumult. You have the same thing going on in the UK. You have the same thing going on in the EU. Africa is overrun with all kinds of wars and different things. Muslims, tribes are running amok in Africa many times, just like down in Nigeria. Al-Shabaab has been invading and doing a lot of stuff. You have the Fulani Muslim tribesmen who've been killing hundreds and hundreds of Christian farmers. You go on over into Kenya, and you have Al-Shabaab over there who is offering jobs and scholarships to innocent people that know better in order to get them sucked into their organization of radicalism. So you have all this going on. They're raging. And so you say, well, what is going on? Well, they're raging against the Lord God is what they're doing. And that's what Psalms 2 is all about. And when you get into Revelation 17, and I'm not going to read them here. I've got a few scriptures from those, but I'm not going to go into all that. I want to get over here to a Let's go to verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, when you get in Revelation 17, you're going to see a lot of other things. But this has 7 heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns. Now, this first verse just tells you the power and the might that this thing's going to have. That when he rises up, he's not rising up because it's a mistake. He's rising up because it's time, and he's been given the power to do this. And he rises up out of the middle of the sea of all the people. And of course, you know, a lot of people, and I don't know if I want to get into this, when they talk about the beast having the 7 heads, when we get into all of this stuff, he had 7 heads and 10 crowns. And so, one of the theories, one of the things that prophecy people look at, the beast rises up out of the Gentile nations, having 7 heads or 7 kingdoms and mountains that the beast has for power to do his bidding. Now, if you get into Jeremiah 51:25, for instance, the Lord says to Babylon, he says, "I am against thee, O destroying mountain." So this is where, you know, you get the type in here. That, you know, certain area. Now, Babylon was not a nation. It was a city-state that ruled a vast territory. Very, very powerful. In those days, you know, Nineveh, there were others just like it. And, of course, in Daniel, the image, you have the stone. It says in verse 35 of Daniel 2, "Then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And in the days of these kingdoms shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Now, that particular portion of this is speaking of the very end of days, when Yahshua, the Son of God, comes back, and he is going to destroy all the kingdoms, all the things that are coming against. The Lord says that unless he comes back again, no flesh will be left alive. But for the elect's sake, the days will be limited, and he'll come back, and there'll be people left alive. So you have these images in here that Daniel used, and of course, so you can pick up on that, that, you know, the 7 heads become these 7 mountains or kingdoms. And the other thing that people believe is when he has 7 heads, they don't necessarily represent mountains or kingdoms, but are distinct offices that the beast will hold. And for instance, now I think that whether or not you believe these different theories really doesn't matter. It's not going to change what this thing is going to do. I call him a thing. But one thing's for sure. It says he will die and come back to life again, just as Jesus Christ did. And, of course, the beast gets his power from the devil. He is, in all essence, the spitting image, the power of the devil. And he's been given unlimited power. And it is the devil who gives him that. So he comes and he's going to copycat everything. And it does say, when we get into that, we will read that, and I'll show you where it says one of the heads are wounded. with a mortal wound, which means he dies. He's going to come back to life. And, of course, we've talked about this before when we've covered this before. So he will definitely, he's going to die and come back to life again, just as the Lord, because he's going to copycat everything. He's going to ascend above the throne. Those are Lucifer's own words. And during this period, he is definitely going to have the power to control the world. And the world is going to reject the love of the truth. And so the delusion that he gives will be through miracles and signs and wonders. And the Lord did miracles and signs and wonders. And the reason they're given it, even in 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul gives us that. Now, of course, he calls that one the son of perdition. And the reason he does, the son of perdition is the same one as the beast, except you have two different distinct reasons that you have him. The beast shows the roots of where he came from, which is out of the beast and out of Satan. And then you have the dark one, which is the son of perdition, which he's given that title because of what he does. He's the destroyer. He's going to lead him into perdition or destruction. And you can put these two together. While there are people that try to separate them, I don't. I don't see there's a separation at all, and it doesn't bother me in the least to put them together, because they do reflect two different distinct reasons Paul called him that. Because he was a destroyer, he was a deceiver, and everybody that followed him through these miracles and signs would go right into perdition. That's exactly what's going to happen when they follow the beast, exactly the same way. So the second thing that he does is he's going to actually ascend as high as he can. It's not literally going to be above the throne of heaven, which is God Almighty, because everything he's given is according to what God allows. But it's coming for a reason, and Paul tells us that, because the world rejects the very truth, and they love a lie. That's what it says, and he's going to send them a lie. They don't want to believe the truth, so he sends them this. And so he's going to ascend, and it will look like a lot of the people above the throne of heaven. He's going to take armies of all the Gentiles, and they're going to face off, not only trying to destroy all of Israel, but they're going to try to destroy the Lord when he comes. So this is what he really does. Now, in his own mind, does he really think he's going to ascend above the throne of God? I think his pride, yes, he really does. And I think all of his lieutenants believe that. I believe they're absolutely, positively convinced that they're going to overthrow the throne of God. That once they get all of the nations of the world following them, then God will just say, okay, you can have earth and you can have all the people and have your kingdoms, and God will tolerate them. No, God is not going to tolerate him. God is going to destroy him finally, because this will be the time that God allows the two harvests to grow, one to death and one to life. And this is why you see the angels reaping in Revelation, for the earth is ripe, because they're going to take those who have done works to evil, and they're going to reap them, and there's those who have done good unto life eternal through Christ, so they will be reaped. Two different, entirely different harvests that God is looking for. And when this is done, there will be no more evil, no more Lucifer, no more deception, no more devil, no more beasts. There will be no wickedness. God will completely erase it. He'll rebuild the earth, rebuild the earth. He will rebuild the entire system that you see around. Everything will be made new. And God's throne will be with men. That's the end goal. That is what Revelation is about. It's not about all of the, the judgments. And that's what we try to make it about. That just shows you what God is doing in some of these things. And a lot of this, we do not have every little detail. You watch out for those who tell you that they have every detail of everything. That's the first time you're going to find yourself in a world of deception. Because there is no man on this earth, no man, that thinks, would be prideful enough to think that he knows every avenue of prophecy and everything absolutely perfect to where, you know, the way it is. No, that's not the way it works. But we do have the highlights in the prophecy over time span, what God has given us. We do know those things, but not every little thing, just like you don't know every little thing every day that's going to happen, because that wouldn't be faith. We are to live by faith first, not by prophecy. Many people think you live by prophecy. No, you don't. You live by faith, for we are saved by grace, through faith. That grace comes out of God's mercy. God's mercy comes out of his love that he had for us. That's why it is called the love of the truth, that Paul calls it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's why God takes this personal, because out of his love he gave us mercy. And in that mercy he put a vehicle together for us to be saved, which would be grace or his favor. And his favor allows us, when he does something like sending his son, if you will believe, he will give you the benefit of the doubt, and you believe on that. The blood of Christ is the atonement, and only through the blood can atonement be made for sins. For all have sinned and all come short of the glory of God, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And because of the Son of God dying and being resurrected from the dead, you are able to be saved, and you have that faith. And just as Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake, so it is imputed unto every Christian for righteousness' sake, because you believe God. And that's why in the end of days, when they don't believe God, that the detrimental judgment will come, and God will feed them blood to drink during this time. And he will be able to make war unlike any other. And the world is going to marvel, because he's going to raise from the dead. How do you kill someone that you already killed and he came back? And he's going to be able to speak great blasphemous things and get away with it. The God will not do anything to him then. He'll be given power to make war against the saints and even to overcome them. That word overcome is to wear them out. He'll be given power to have a figure like the Lamb in appearance, a type of Christ, to come with him. And that, of course, is going to be known as, that's the second beast. We call him the false prophet. And the world will worship him and follow him against the Lamb of God. Those are the seven things. Those are going to happen. And that's why many of the people think the seven things, the seven heads, are actually these seven distinct offices which the beast is going to hold. He's going to hold them. He's going to do them. Now, whether or not you want to put that in there, that's just another thing. Now, the other one, if we go into Theorem 3, you know, the beast has 10 horns and 10 crowns, the power and authority carry out his mission in deceit, along with the royalty. The crowns go with it. Another theory is the 10 horns are 10 kings with crowns. And literally, we find that when we get into Revelation 17. And they are given power to rule. So we do see that. So there's a lot of these different things, and I just put these in here for your information. But now we're in verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Of course, the dragon is Satan. And he's also known as the beast. But in this case, this beast is one that he has put there. And I liken him to, when you see him, a human being like you've never seen before. And in my book that I wrote in the Steel series, I describe him in my book. And I'm in the second book now, and I'll be writing that again because I'm taking this even further. So I am following some of these things in my book. Steal the Darkness is the first one. The second one I'm not going to announce yet, but it's going to be the second one in the series. But, you know, this is about deception. And he's going to be given the power. He's going to have the seat. In other words, you can be a king, but if you don't have the ability to sit in a seat and be recognized to a as a king and to have an army to back you up, you're not going to stay in power. There's many people who have claimed to have the throne, but they didn't have, you know, really the authority, because the one in power wouldn't let them have the power, and the one in power had the army and he didn't, so he ruled in exile. You know, Satan is not going to be ruling in exile during this time. This is the one time that he's going to be given, and he is going to rule with a might and a power as you've never seen it. If you think things are bad now, God help us if you're here during this time. Now, of course, you'll say, well, Watchman, are we going to be here? Well, I'm going to tell you, you could very well be here. But there is no doubt that there are things within Revelation. And when we get to it, I'll show you the point where shows a good escape plan. I've already talked about it in this series before. But, you know, the thing you have to understand in this, too, is that, you know, the believers, they're going to make war. And you might think, well, guns and bullets and things. Well, there will probably be a few of those around. But the war is spiritual warfare. The war is miracles and signs and wonders. Now, you see, God took care of Israel for 40 years in the desert. And he fed them. Their clothes and their shoes never wore out. Took care of them. Matter of fact, he took them all the way to Zion, eventually giving them David as their king, who defeated all their enemies. And then David had a son, Solomon, and he had the temple, and that was the peak and pinnacle of it. But Solomon sinned, and the kingdom was divided, and Israel's been in trouble ever since. So at any rate, the dragon. The beast, of course, you could say that he's a direct connection to the dragon. And of course, the dragon himself, known as Satan, is also called a beast. So we can liken this, just as the Son of God is a mirror reflection of the Father, so it is the beast that rises in this chapter is a direct reflection of Satan. And it's his purpose to achieve this goal. And both the beast and the dragon will be worshipped. Now, it's interesting to note that the second beast does miracles in the presence of the first beast. And, of course, now let's look at the different things. When we look at the leopard in Daniel's time, Daniel chapter 7, the prophecy, Macedonia or Greece in the time of Daniel. And the whole of the beast in that part, he looked like a leopard. His kingdom and power will represent the kingdom under Alexander the Great, who conquered all. And of course, that is not going to happen with the beast. But the leopard gives you an idea of where this characteristic, the power and the ability to conquer at will, because Alexander the Great did do just that. So he's going to have that power and ability. And I always say it like this, is that when you see this beast arise, he's going to make war like no one has ever made war. He will be the embodiment of all the conquerors. And I might add, including Hitler. And I've said this before and been on record, that Hitler, I believe, absolutely believe, spiritually, that Satan deliberately tried to raise him up because Satan thought it was time to rule. And he would have ruled if America hadn't gotten involved. He would have ruled. Because he had already conquered Europe, and he had destroyed a lot of the UK, and was getting ready to finish it. And you could find him everywhere, from one end of the continent all the way over into China and in Asia. You had Nazi troops. They were everywhere. China had trouble with them. And of course, then you had Japan who was joining him, and Japan had conquered the entire South Seas. And my dad was in the service. He was a Navy medic in the South Seas. He was there when they were trying to run out the Japanese from these islands. And so it was terrible. And so if America hadn't gotten involved, Hitler would have ruled the world. It would have only been time once he assimilated his power before he'd take on America. And he could have easily defeated her. So the big problem, he couldn't defeat Russia either. And he couldn't have totally taken over China. So he really did bite off a lot. Now this, of course, leads into the point, how is the beast going to be able to do it worldwide? And he is going to be given power. Now it says you're not going to be able to buy or sell. And that's going to be a key. And a lot of that can be done today through the internet, through the digital means. And all your banks are that way. So it's not going to be hard at all for the system to be set up and just about every nation on earth to be involved in it and have a cross currency. Now, many people for years and years thought there would be a one world currency. And of course, they all said the dollar is the world currency. Well, once digital came in, the dollar stopped being the main currency. Now, a lot of them will trade in dollars, even oil currency. But the thing of it is, folks, everybody on the face of this earth, once they get their money, they put it into an account, which is all digital. The real money in the world today is digital, and it's in accounts all over the world. Now, one time when America had money, there was Fort Knox, and you could find the gold, and that was supposed to back us up. That was the old gold standard. Now, there's been rumors for years and years that the gold don't even exist there anymore, the U.S. having to get rid of it because to pay off their debt. I don't know. I never got into it. It could be there. But you know how these kind of things are. Now, of course, the bear, Medo-Persia, Iran, Iraq, this bear is the feet, the soldiers, and the army to destroy. Well, matter of fact, when you look at Medo-Persia, Iran, and Iraq, we're already seeing a lot of this. And who are the soldiers today? Radical Islamists. We sought ISIS, and they were radical Islam. They were Sunni. They went through Syria and Iraq. And so it's not hard at all to see that the bear. Now, a lot of people think the bear is Russia. But, you know, Medo-Persia, Iran and Iraq is really the feet. And, of course, there are Muslim armies, Muslim radicals in Russia as well. The lion was Babylon. And, of course, today we have Mystery Babylon. And this beast has the mouth of Babylon, speaking with authority and power, like America used to be. Now, see, this is the thing, the lion. And, of course, I don't get all caught up into all of it. These things represent the different powers. You know, look at America. And look where you have the UN at, and where the nations come to operate at. In America, in New York. Now, America has had a lot of power, a lot of authority. We've had our troops all over the world, and we had power. And today, we don't necessarily have the power. And in fact, we have the radical Islam making war against us. And we have Russia, who is also known as the bear. Now, see, make no mistake. When we look at, for instance, Ezekiel 38, it doesn't say bear. It says Gog and Magog, we call it Magog. And so you look at it, and a lot of people believe that in Ezekiel 38, Russia is going to come on down along with the Muslim armies to destroy Israel. So you cannot say that Russia is not going to be involved here at all. And the lion, as far as being, particularly Babylon. Now, see, when we talk about Mystery Babylon, you know, many people want to believe that Mystery Babylon in particular is America. Now, when we go through that part on Mystery Babylon, you will find almost everything in that looks like America. Now, at one time, back in the 1800s, now I have an old commentary called the Pulpit Commentary. I've got it in storage, but it's a real expensive old set that I got in college. And when you get to the part of Mystery Babylon, the commentators that wrote that, and this was written at the time when Great Britain was the biggest power on earth, and they saw Great Britain as Mystery Babylon. Now, Mystery Babylon is actually represented more by the spirit and the abomination she does more than anything else. And the spirit of that abominations is thoroughly entrenched in America, thoroughly entrenched in the UK, thoroughly entrenched in almost every nation on earth. Now you may say, well, we're all different. Of course we're different, because it is the abominations. It's a cup of abominations, not one abomination. So we look at America, there's abominations here. You get on over into various other countries, there's other abominations that they do that we won't do. That's why it's a cup of abominations. It's all-encompassing. It represents the abominations of the world, and this is what the world has drank and gotten drunk on. So it doesn't necessarily mean that America is going to be part of it, but I'm going to tell you, America is going to be part of it. America is going to be wrapped up in it. And because of America being what we are today, it is very easy to assume that we could have the whole thing change overnight because of America falling away from God and being consumed in this and giving authority or giving rise to the beast himself. So then, the three empires, if we look at it, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Macedonia, were those who preceded Rome. And then, of course, you had Rome come along, and there's a lot of people that, when you look at it, that a lot of people believe that there's going to be a revised Roman Empire. Now, that's another thing a lot of them like to teach, a revised Roman Empire. Going to be headquartered in Rome. And of course they do that because you find within the mountains. And so Rome is surrounded by seven mountains at the time that they wrote this, so they that's where they get that. Now I don't really worry about all that. That's just you know, things that just don't bother me at all. If you know, could very well be. I don't really see that, just like a lot of people begin to teach that the revised Roman Empire is actually the rise of the EU, and a lot of people thought it was. Well, the EU's in a lot of trouble today. There's no way. But if you look further, you could easily see that the revised Roman Empire, the revised harlot, could easily be an Islamic conqueror by the name of the Mahdi, who is going to have someone alongside him called Jesus Christ, who is going to give credence that the Mahdi and him both serve a greater God, and that, this is the deception. And this is exactly what some people see with the coming of Islam, along with the mark. And so there are some problems in that particular theory when we look at it. But make no mistake, folks, whatever it is and however it's made up, you will recognize it. And I wouldn't lose sleep worrying about it. What you need to do is draw closer to the Lord, enjoy your life every day, put the Lord first, think of those who are being persecuted by their faith, put your money in action to help support ministries that help them, and work and serve the Lord and enjoy your family and the things God gives you, because there's coming a time you won't have it. It's all coming. This is the time of the end. And, of course, in verse 3, now I want to make sure I'm in the right thing. I've got everything. There's so much in depth here that, and I don't like it when I get so much in depth here, that because it's just too hard to really get into the midst of it. Because you have so many tracks that you're following, that it. So you have the beast in verse 2. And then in verse 3, we have, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now see, this is self-explanatory. He was wounded to death. Now you see, there's a difference between being wounded and able to heal, and wounded, and then you die. You know, totally different. And so, you're going to know whether or not you're wounded to death. You're going to know. So, this one is going to die, but his deadly wound is going to be healed. Now, of course, you can say, well, is it going to be miraculous? Are they going to use a doctor? And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, I'm going to tell you, This beast is going to die. Now, we don't know if he's going to be in the earth 3 days and three nights like the Lord was and was resurrected after the third day. But I can tell you, more than likely, he is going to have some time in there just like the Lord. And he's going to come back. And it's not going to be like we found a miracle cure. No, this is going to be miraculous. He wants to appear as Christ our Savior appeared, miraculously. And he's going to absolutely shock the world. This is the thing you need to pay attention to. Because when you see this sign, and this will be unlike any sign you have ever physically seen at any time, because, see, when Christ was resurrected from the dead, the world didn't see him. That's the difference. He did not appear to those who didn't believe in him and didn't love him. He appeared to his own. The beast will appear resurrected to the world. That's the difference. And when you see him, then you will know that the beast, the Antichrist, as we call him, although he's not called the Antichrist, because as John says, even and in John's day, he said, even now there are a lot of Antichrists. Good grief. We've got tons of Antichrists. We've got them in the Republican Party. We've got them in the Democratic Party. We've got them in no party. We've got them around the world. Antichrists are everywhere, for crying out loud. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're not even looking for the beast, because he's going to show up and make himself known. All you have to do is look for the Lord and be in the Lord, because he is your ark of safety. Remember Noah in the boat? He was in that ark and he was safe. You need to be in the Lord. The Lord is your ark. And verse 4, "They worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast." So you have two things being worshiped here: the beast and the dragon. And that's why when we talk about the dragon is the beast, and the beast is the dragon. And it's just like God having a son by the name of Yeshua, Jesus. The dragon, the beast, is able to have a sub-beast, another one just like him that comes into the world and is revealed. Because he has to enter into human flesh. He's going to have to do that. He's not going to appear as an ethereal spirit that flitters around. He's going to appear as a real leader in the real world, and he's going to come back from the dead, and they're going to think absolutely, positively, that this is God here. And he is going to challenge the Lord God. And so he's going to make war. But see, this is what it says. Who is able to make war with him? That is why this thing has to be so shocking, that the world sees it, And this will cause, now see, this is where we come into the Muslims and others. When all these others and all these others' religions see this happen, they're going to believe that the one that they've been worshiping is the one standing there. Exactly. This is the way it's going to be. The only people that won't will be the Christians that are truly the remnant, that know him, know the Lord. Because you will know who this one is. If you are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have never been born again, you will never, ever be able to get away from this. You will believe, you will be subject to him, you will take the mark. Absolutely. No way around it. At verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now we just round this off to 3.5 years. Now there is a day figure in here that we look at when we get into Daniel and when we get into a few other places. And there is different reasons that we believe that the days are different, including the various judgment that has to be done before he truly begins the 1,000-year reign of Christ that Christ is going to do. But this one here is going to rule and reign for 3.5 years. But the days until the kingdom that the Lord actually sets up is going to be a while, because there's some cleaning up to do before everything gets done. There is some days difference in there between the 3.5 and the other one. And a lot of people try to do a lot of things. I don't go there. 3.5 years, you can figure that. You can, when you see this entity arise, if you're alive, you've got 3.5 years until the end. And if he is the true one, if this is really this kind of an event, the Lord will be here to destroy him by the end. And this will be a worldwide event. Everything from here on out will be worldwide. It's not going to be in a corner. And so he's, in verse 6, he says, verse 5, he's going to speak great things. Now we find that even in Daniel. We find this in a lot of the prophecies concerning this particular individual. He is going to be able to speak things that you would have thought God would kill you for. He is going to speak against the Father, against heaven, against the angels, against Christ, against Christians, against Israel, against everything and anyone, because he will be given the power and the authority to speak. And he's going to be speaking blasphemies, things that would absolutely, if he would at any other time, you would have run him out of town on a rail, you would have shot him, you would have hung him, you would have done something, because it had been so egregious. But he's not going to get that. He is going to have the world follow him because of what he's doing. And they're going to love him because they're going to see signs and wonders. He's going to come back from the dead. No one will be able to make war with him. The world will kind of capitulate, but he will be a warrior. He will be making war at the same time. And he will convince the world to turn against everything Christianity. And so you have a time. There is going to be a time, though, in here that the actual martyr of the saints is going to be finished. And we see that in the seals in Revelation, I think it is 6. There comes a time when those who are going to be killed and martyred, it's going to be done. It's not going to happen anymore. They're going to be, that part will be finished. Then comes a time that there's going to be those who are sealed and will be here. So you'll have two groups of true believers. There will be those who are sealed and those who aren't sealed. And then, let's see. And of course, when he does make war, now remember, the whole thing ain't coming to the end until he invades Israel and comes to Israel. And we get into Zechariah, the last chapter. There's a portion of scripture there that leads us into some of the events that's going to happen. So this is all going to happen together at one time. It's all going to come together. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. I mean, you know, now John, no, it's Jude. I think it's Jude that talks about the ungodly. and how they rail against the powers in heaven. And, you know, if you can imagine an individual like this that isn't content just to blaspheme Christians or Jesus, they blaspheme everything in heaven, everything that is dwelling with God in heaven. They make fun of God's tabernacle and make fun and blaspheme God, everything. I mean, and you wonder, you know, why, God, do you allow this? And there's one reason, because this is the harvest. This is the most evil of the evil. And in God's, God is a God of reaping and sowing, of planting and getting the harvest. And when people are planting, or individuals or entities like this one is, he plants these seeds of evil and they flourish and grow up, and God plucks them out by the root. So when the time comes, he will send his angels and he will reap and he will pluck them out by the root and throw them into the lake of fire, and they'll be there forever. That's what God is going to do, and that's why he allows this, because he is a God that is not moved by the raging of men and entities and those who think they're God, because he knows who he is. And so he's not moved. He doesn't move emotionally like men and women do. He is God. He can go through this. He's in charge the whole time. So there's no part in this. Now, although you can look at it and you can read it, and it looks terrible, it sounds terrible, and it is terrible. And the scripture tells us, unless the Lord comes, and I've said this before, no flesh will be left alive. Yet the Lord is in charge. Matter of fact, the Lord made it a point to say that, you know, that if you lose your life for him and the gospel, not a hair of your head is going to be lost. Now, of course, your body, you know, when you get martyred, your body dies. But see, God gives you a new body with new hair. So nothing's going to be lost. You don't lose your life. See, this body of death has to be put off anyway. This is the body of death. This is the vessel that must be put off. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's why Yahshua came. We can put this body off. God will give us a new body. We'll live a new life in a new body with him forever. And we won't have that sin nature. The former things will all be removed. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, meaning to, he literally would wear them out, because the devil doesn't get tired, but saints do. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Now today, if you think that the devil suddenly makes war with the saints, you know, in Revelation here, you're wrong. The devil's been making war with the saints ever since the time of Abraham. He has been making war with the saints from the beginning. But this one here is going to be particularly interested in making war with saints who keep certain things. And this is the faith of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, the patience of Jesus, and keep the commandments of God. Which is, and I pointed this out, the Lord said in John 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So it's not like Christians today, we're not supposed to keep the commandments. We're to keep what he said and do what he said. And if you do that, then you love him. That's what he says. So he's going to make war, and he's going to wear them out. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now that's going to happen, because that is the word of God. That's what it says. That's what we believe. That's where it's really hard to understand how you're going to get every person in China to worship this individual. Of course, there's a lot of Christians there. How are you going to get all of Russia? How are you going to get all of North Korea? Because what this person does, this individual does, is so tremendous, so world-shattering, there's never been anything revealed on the earth like him before. Think of that. Never. And he will make war. No one will be able to beat him. He just, think about it. He is going to take over everything. And no one will stop him. Now, there will be miracles and signs done by the believers. There will. This will go on. And they will make headway in their survival. But they won't necessarily be to that point to where they're going to kill him. Once this beast arises, you will not be able to stop him. Now see, so far we've just talked about the other beast. I mean the first beast. So all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, if you say, well, and I've heard this so much, those tower. You know, we talk about the mark, you know, and everybody worried about the mark 666. Forget about 666. Good grief. Matter of fact, if you look in the Greek, you know, the original Greek, there's some question whether it's even 666. You need to know the Lord. When this person arises, if you don't know the Lord, you're going to follow him. And I've heard him say, well, when I see him wanting me to take the mark, I'll know, you know, and I won't take it. No, you won't. You'll take it. Why? Because everybody that is not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, are going to worship him. Means you're going to take his mark and you're going to bear his name. Period. That's what you're going to do. You don't wait. If you want the truth, you seek the Lord today. Don't you wait until this thing comes down. That's a fool's hope. And there are a lot of them around. Like I've said before, you can tell a fool, but you can't tell him much. Now, go into Scripture and find out what it says about a fool. Answer not a fool according to his folly, because he'll look wise in his own eyes. You'll get nowhere, just frustrated, and he'll go away thinking that he's smart. He won't even hear you. So then here's the other verse. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you have an ear, hear it. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. Now you're going to see a lot of these kind of little words. I call these marching orders, the faith and the patience and the faith of the saints. Because at this time you're going to need patience. He that leadeth into captivity, in other words, there's going to be those taken into captivity, just like there is today around the world. We report it all the time on our advocacy news. We also report on miracles and signs and wonders that are following true believers around the world today. Absolutely miraculous Old Testament apostle, the day of the apostles, in the time of Jesus, everything. We see them today, right now. We report. And you get our shows, you listen to them, you're going to find that. We report on this. It's coming in from a lot of sources that this is happening. So make no mistake, it's happening today, that there are miracles happening. And Christians are being delivered. Their enemies are being saved. So make no mistake, this is what the battle's going to be about. It's going to be about souls. Christians are going to be backed by the supernatural power of heaven. And in the process, many of them are going to go into captivity. While in there, they're going to be persecuted. They are going to be killed. But it says, he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the faith and the patience of the saints. Now, we've talked about that a time or two. And this is in the conquest of war, purposely to go out, like ISIS did and others, to kill with the sword. But this is where we as believers, during this time, now this is during this time, you know, if you have a robber come into your house and he's going to rape your daughter and kill your wife, and you're standing there with something to stop him, it doesn't mean you don't do anything. It means you stop him. And if he won't stop unless you kill him, you kill him. That's defending your family. It's your job to keep them safe. If I had a church, and if it was a time of people causing signs, you know, going around killing, I would have someone at the front door, and they would stop everybody from coming in, unless I knew who they were. If someone came into the sanctuary and was going to kill one of my parishioners, I would shoot him deader than a doornail right now. Why? Because I'm defending what God gave me. But yet, during this time, the reason we're not going to be killing with the sword is because there will be these miracles and signs as never before. And there's going to be people that were martyred, will be martyred as well. So this is the patience and the faith of the saints. Even today, they need this overseas. Good grief. I mean, Asiya Bibi, we reported on her for years and years. We were there reporting on her from the beginning. And she finally got released. Talk about needing patience and faith. Dear. You know? That's, you know, there's no doubt about it. She needed that. She was finally released. And so, you know, when we get into this, there is so much that it's hard to just say, well, this is, you know, these are all the answers. There's not going to be any variation. We've got it all figured out. Folks, these are the highlights of what Revelation tells us. And there's things that are mysterious here. There's things that, you know, that you can look at the types. You can think about it. You know, but the bottom line of it is, you know, there are important things that you need to be paying attention to. And knowing every detail isn't necessarily what you need to do. You don't need to know every detail. But when this one comes, you'll know it. But see, today, there's martyrdom of Christians going on everywhere. Look what happened in China with him cracking down. Wang Yi, one of the pastors of the largest churches there. Now see, when the communists first took over China, they almost every church was eradicated. All the foreign missionaries were gone by this time. And no one knew if they even had any believers. Then we found out there was lots of them there. And now, after a period of openness, it's been shut. And now Wang Yi is in prison, and his wife is in prison. 100 other of their top people are in prison. And multitudes of others are in camps and in prison because of their faith, and they're closing down more. And the only churches that are open is the Communist Church, the one that upholds communism and China before anything else. And a true believer can't do that. That's why they're in jail. So it's going on now. And guess what? We haven't even seen the Dark One yet, who will appear as an angel of light. And that's exactly what Paul said. And he's going to appear as an angel of light. Father, we thank you for your word today and for allowing us to go through this. Bless your people with this. Let them understand this, Lord. Help their faith. Bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word to the glory of our Father, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Boy, this is deep stuff. I really like it. I enjoy it. And It bothers me that the beast will be allowed to blaspheme our God. That bothers me. Well, I just want him to be zapped. You're done.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it blasphemy. That right there. The fact that to a true believer, that's exactly what's going to happen. And you know, believers, it will bother true believers. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The ones that are alive. And there will be those who are in prison that will hear what he's doing. And they won't be able to say much or do anything, but it will just give them a gut wrench. And that's what happens when you hear it. You just your gut just wrenches. You just, oh, grit your teeth. Oh, why do they have to say that?
Why do they get away with it?
Yeah, why do they get, you know, you want to see, like Elijah, you know, bringing down fire from heaven.
Yeah, that's right. But in the end, he will get his, and it will be forever and ever and ever.
Because that's the patience and faith of the saints. That's important to know. We are waiting because vengeance is the Lord's.
That's right.
That's why we wait. It's not up to us. He will do the vengeance because he is righteous.
Amen.
And with that, we got to get out of here.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. God bless you richly as you serve him. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.